podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Praising the Lord like that just sends chills up and down my spine. I don't know about you, but it is a glimpse of eternity, a picture of what it'll be like to worship Him in that day to come. We catch small glimpses of it here on earth, though, and we have one big glimpse that has been given to us by our God, and that is, of course, His Word. The Word of God. The Bible is His actual Word, what He wants to tell us. What He wants to say to us is found right here. We don't have to wonder, what does God have to say to me? I wonder what's important to God. I wonder what God's values are. We don't have to guess. They've been given to us clearly right here in His Word. And it's imperative that we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ learn to use our Bibles properly. So that's what we've been talking about. We don't want to neglect the Word of God. We've been emphasizing these truths recently as we've been following this sermon series, Word Use, Rescuing Bibles from Shelfware. And we've looked at a number of different ways to use the Word of God. First, we need to hear the Word of God. The Word must make that journey from our head to our heart and then out through our hands. We must digest the Word of God, to meditate on it, to chew on it, to swallow it, to allow it to enter our system and to feed our souls, to nourish us and to give us energy. We must handle the Word of God, to treat it with the utmost respect, to accurately interpret it and understand it, and to allow it to speak the truth into our lives rather than twisting it to suit our thoughts or the popular thoughts of the day. And we must wield the Word of God as a sword. The sharp blade of the Word of God cuts us and it convicts us, all the while seeking to heal us. And this morning we see that the Word of God is especially helpful when we find ourselves in the darkness. So if you will, turn with me to Psalm 119:105. Psalm 119:105. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. The whole thing is about the Word of God and the impact that it can have in our lives. Psalm 119, verse 105 is just a short verse here in the midst of this huge chapter, but at the same time, a very important verse, a verse that you may have memorized at one time or another in your career as a Sunday school student. Psalm 119:105, follow along as I read. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. But let's not stop there. Let's also turn to Proverbs chapter 6, the next verse in the Bible, or chapter, book in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 23, Proverbs 6:23. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life." A light, a lamp, the way to life. And then one more passage of Scripture, now from the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Toward the end of your Bibles, somewhere in between 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and James, right there, 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 19. Peter writes, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." These three passages share an identical setting: darkness. You know, the word of God, we're told, is a remedy for darkness. Now, just as the Bible is not really a sword, the Bible is not really a lamp. So don't expect your Bible to literally glow in the dark. Don't expect to be able to grab your Bible when the lights go out and to shine it as a flashlight. The Word of God is a source of light in a spiritual sense. And we need to understand what that means, not a physical sense. Before we can even begin to understand, however, what spiritual light is and how the light of the Word of God blazes a path for us, spiritually speaking, we need to investigate its opposite, and that is darkness. So let's think first of all about the danger of darkness. The danger of darkness. This morning I don't have slides for you, so you're going to be in a little bit of darkness as a result of that. And so the danger of darkness is this, that the default setting of the world is darkness. Think about that for a moment. This is how God created the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and void, empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's the picture we get of the earth as it was first created by God. It was dark. And then what happened? You remember? God spoke. And what did He say? He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Right there at the beginning of the book of Genesis, we see that picture. Darkness covered the earth. God spoke. And at the command of the words of His mouth, there was light. Suddenly, everything was ablaze. You know, scientists love to talk about this and, you know, what happened here? You know, was this the sun that God put in the sky and then lit up? And suddenly, you know, it would take thousands of light years for the light to get from the sun to the earth, wouldn't it? So it can't possibly be that God just pulled that little chain and the sun came on, right? Because it would take light years for the light to get to us. Maybe through the process of some sort of evolution, there was this cataclysmic explosion. And out of that explosion, this great star shined. And this is just some sort of spiritual, God-speak, Christian way of trying to demonstrate what happened when millions and millions of years of evolution produced light. Well, I don't know how you want to look at it. I tend to take the word literally and believe that God could do this, that He could take a dark earth and bring light, and that He wouldn't have to pull the chain on the sun and wait for those light years for the light to get there. Just like He could create a man who was already fully grown, He could create a light that was already shining on the earth. God is not bound by these technicalities that we're bound by. So where we might try to figure God out in a humanistic, earthly type of way, we really don't need to do that because He transcends humanism. He transcends the earth. He transcends science. In fact, He's the creator of the science. He's the one that put the laws in place. And He's the one who at the very beginning set the stars and the sun in their place in the sky. So we see that darkness, if we want to put it this way, is the absence of God's voice. Because apart from the voice of God, there was darkness. But once God spoke, boom, there was light in the world. Darkness is a symbol throughout the Word of God of all that is ominous. It's evil is darkness. And the Word of God says, this is the verdict in John chapter 3. Light has come into the world. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now I like the picture is of the cockroaches that come out in the darkness. You know, they're all over the place. And then once you turn on the light, where do they go? They scatter, they hide. And that is what men in their evil are like. As soon as the light of God shines, we scatter. We like the darkness instead of the light. Darkness is the opposite of the presence of God, if you think about it. It represents life outside the reaches of God's light, where we don't allow God's light to penetrate us. It represents the choice that we might make to eliminate God from our world. And that is living in spiritual darkness. Darkness is the place of punishment. In fact, the Word of God tells us that the false teachers in 2 Peter are said that they have a place reserved for them. And that place that is reserved for them in 2 Peter 2:17 is called the blackest darkness reserved for them. Also in Judges, or in Jude chapter 1 verse 6, we read about these angels who didn't keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home. It is said of them that these He has kept in darkness bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. The picture that we get from the Word of God is that darkness is far from God, that it's the place of evil and unrighteousness, it's the place of punishment. And darkness is seen as negative throughout Scripture. But I didn't have to tell you that because we all innately know that to be the case. Since we were children, we have known that darkness is not good. Throughout life, we have come to experience the fact that darkness is not good. Now, there are times when we definitely need darkness. I don't know about you, but you know, if you have to sleep in the middle of the day, it's a good thing to have those room darkening blinds that you can pull down so that you know the light isn't in your face as you're trying to sleep. So there are times when darkness is needed, but spiritually speaking, darkness is not good. And I think we all innately recognize that. Well, let's talk about the dangers of darkness. One of those is fear. Fear is one of the dangers of darkness. There's a reason that children are afraid of the dark. There's a reason that darkness continues to be a phobia for many. The darkness makes it impossible to see what is happening around you. We understand that. When you're in the darkness, you can't see, you can't experience with your eyes what's happening around you, so you start to make up things, right? The overactive mind begins to work a little bit, and you start to make huge, scary things out of little nothings. The rustling of leaves outside your tent when you're camping and little scraping noises is a grizzly bear who's preparing to eat you. The dark presence in your bedroom as you're laying there and you wake up in the middle of the night and look across the room and see that dark presence in your bedroom, it's a stalker who's watching you sleep. The scraping noise outside of your window is a monster is clawing at the window trying to get into the house. And you recognize that in darkness, all of those things could be true. It's possible because we can't see. And so darkness is related to fear. Now, spiritually speaking, that's true also. Darkness brings fear because apart from the voice of God, we believe that we're all alone. If we don't have God's voice, we don't have His word, we believe that we're all alone. We believe that there's nobody who cares about us, that the world is out to get us, that there's nothing good in this world at all, that all there is to look forward to in this life is depression and death. That's spiritual darkness, not being able to see what the Word of God shows us. Second danger of darkness is stumbling. And maybe you have had this happen to you before, when you can't see your hand in front of your face and you have to get from one side of the room to the other. Even in your own home, you're prone to running into things. See how frustrating it is to get to that flashlight that used to be in the nightstand next to your bed. By the time you get to it and have smashed your leg against all sorts of invisible objects, finally you get to the drawer, you open it up, and you start pawing around in the drawer to look for it, and it's not there. Oh yeah, that's right, the children were playing with that flashlight. And so you go to where the children's stuff is and you start to wander around and stumble and hit your funny bone on things that are invisible to your eye. And then finally there it is, the flashlight. You find it, you locate it with your hands and you flip the switch and the batteries are dead. It's been left on all this time. You see how frustrating darkness is. It causes us to stumble. Now imagine being in a place that you've never been before. It's all new to you, and the lights go out. And there's pitch blackness. I mean, not only is there fear, there may be panic, but there is also the high probability that you're going to bust your shin on something that you've never seen before. I have walked through this church when it was pitch black in here one time. And I need to tell you that some of the ends of those pews that y'all are sitting on in the wings, they jut out a little bit. And they're just about at my knee level, and that doesn't feel good. And maybe that has happened to you before as you try to stumble through the darkness. Spiritually speaking, this is true also. It's not just physical. Spiritually speaking, darkness can cause you to stumble. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." That is the way of the wicked. They have no idea why they keep falling down. They just get up and keep on doing the same stupid stuff that they're doing. But we, as sinners, just keep on sinning because we don't recognize that we're stumbling, because we don't see the things that we're stumbling over, because we don't have the light of the Word of God. Many people stumble through life clueless to why things just never seem to work out their way. Following the ways of the world, the ways of darkness, what they've been taught by the things of this world, and they are bound to stumble in the darkness without the light of the Word of God. And then also, another danger of darkness is wandering. It's possible to become disoriented due to darkness. Did you know that? To completely lose your bearing, to not know which way is up and which way is down in the darkness. Now you would say, well, I could just use gravity. But imagine that you were flying in an airplane. Even the most experienced pilots sometimes struggle with what is called spatial disorientation. There's a website that describes this danger, and they say it can be divided into two categories. You're flying in an airplane, it's pitch black, your instruments go down, you can't even see the horizon, and you don't know which way is up and which way is down anymore. You could be flying straight into the ground and not know it. You could be flying straight into the air and not know it. You could be convinced in your mind that you're flying straight at the ground, but be flying straight up in the air. That's spatial disorientation. Two categories. One is false perception. The pilot doesn't appreciate that his perception of the aircraft orientation is incorrect. In other words, you're flying in the wrong direction and you don't know it because of this spatial disorientation and the false perception that you're doing the right thing. But then there's also conflict perception, where you think you're going the wrong way, but you're really not. So your mind is playing tricks on you and telling you, but this is all because of darkness, because of the unknown. Clearly, the most dangerous one is the false perception, where you think you've got it all figured out. You think you know what life is going to be like. You think you've found the way to get through life, and you've embraced a style of living, and you don't realize that you're headed for danger. That perhaps is the most dangerous disorientation. Spiritually speaking, this is true. We all wander in darkness when we are apart from God. The most dangerous of these spiritual conditions is when we think we have it all figured out, but we don't. False religion, atheism, self-reliance. We believe we can manage apart from the light of God. We don't need that light, and we plow on into the darkness, wandering farther and farther and further away from the light of the Lord. Praise God for His Word. It is the light. You know that your word is an extension of who you are? That when you say a word, it goes out there into the world, and it's an extension of who you are. You know, I think sometimes we just throw words out there. We don't really think about where they're coming from or where they're going to. We don't recognize how powerful those words are, what an impact and an influence they can have, and we just throw them out there. Not recognizing that just as our hand is an extension of who we are, so our words are an extension of who we are. They make a difference. The Word of God is light, because the Word of God is an extension of who He is. His thinking, His heart, His compassion, it comes through. His wisdom in His Word is an extension of who He is. There's a saying that is attributed to a number of different sources. The saying goes like this: it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. In other words, it's better to shut your mouth and let people think you're stupid than to open it and prove it, right? That's been attributed to George Eliot, Abraham Lincoln, Mark Twain, a number of different people. And maybe they all said it, I don't know. But really, we can trace it back to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28 in the Bible, where it says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." See, what we say betrays who we are. When you speak, you put yourself out there for all the world to hear and to know. Maybe that's why, you know, shy people, withdrawn people tend to be very quiet, because they don't want to reveal their inner thoughts to others. They don't want others to know who they are. They're afraid that if people did know who they were, that they wouldn't like them. So they keep their mouth shut and they keep it in. They don't want to talk. Well, we have a God who has spoken clearly, and He has revealed through His speaking who He is. Word of God says in Psalm 139:12. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you, speaking to God. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. To God, darkness and light doesn't matter. It's all the same. And so when God speaks, light comes forth, as we saw in Genesis chapter 1. This is why, as a word, according to the psalm that we read earlier, is a lamp. It's a light. His word cuts through the darkness of evil. Like a laser, it erupts into glorious light, the light of truth. The word of God frees us. It liberates us. Much like light liberates us from darkness by showing us what's around us. You know, there was one Wednesday night when we were sitting there and the rain started to fall and the wind started to howl and it started to, people started not listen to me and started looking out the window over in the fellowship hall. And I don't know what was going on here in the choir. I can just imagine. It's a scary scene even when it's not like that. But imagine then all of a sudden, boom, the lights went out. Now, well, they were only out for a couple of seconds. Right, but it was pitch black when they went out. Pew! Just pitch black. And I don't know what everybody else was thinking, but I was thinking, what on earth do we do now? You know, what are we going to do now? How are we going to get out of here? What do I keep talking? Do I stop talking? But fortunately, 2 seconds later, or maybe it was just two heartbeats later, pew, lights came back on. And I don't know how everybody else felt that night, but I was just praising God for that. Like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to deal with this tonight. That's liberation, the liberation of the light of God as it shines into our darkness. So point number two in your outline is the liberation of light. I just want to look at 3 points here, and we'll hit them quickly. The first one is that the light of God is revelation. It's revelation. When God speaks, He reveals Himself to us and everything around us. And that's what's so great about the light of God. When the lights come on, we recognize that that grizzly bear out there by our tent was just a mouse that was sitting on the picnic table, nibbling away at a chip that we had left there the night before. When we see that stalker in our room who's watching us and we flip on the light quickly, it's just a chair with our jacket draped over it there in the corner that we had put there ourselves before we went to bed. And we're relieved to find out that tree branch is scraping on the side of our house. It's not a monster trying to chew its way in. And we recognize because the light is on, it reveals to us our situation, the situation of the world around us. And the same is true of our God. Spiritually speaking, by the light of the Word of God, we know that there is a God, that He created us, that He deeply loves us, that He gave His life for us, that we might have forgiveness from our sins, that He wants the best for us, that He wants us to grow and to be His children and to love Him and to follow Him. We know all of that is true because He has revealed it to us out of the darkness in His Word. Apart from His Word, we would not know those things. We would not know the truth. Suddenly, the darkness is no longer a fearful place when the light of God's Word illumines the truth and gives us the big spiritual picture that we've been striving for. Revelation, and then secondly, clarity. The liberation of light is in its clarity. It's amazing how simple crossing a room can be once the lights are turned on. Duh, you know? Walk across the room and say, well, there's the end of the pew. I'm not going to run into that. When the lights are out, boom, 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 I hit every single one on the way up the aisle. But when the lights are on, I see. Walking around obstacles, ducking, changing directions, things we never thought about doing in the darkness because we couldn't see. God's Word shows us where the pitfalls of life are. God's Word demonstrates for us through its teaching. Things that the world approves us and tells us are great, God exposes in His Word as rotten. Something we need to stay away from. And we will respond by ducking and swerving and changing direction because light brings clarity to help us avoid the obstacles. And then finally, light also brings direction. Direction. Once the light comes, the disorientation of the darkness subsides. You were lost as we're flying in the darkness without any controls, not knowing where the horizon is. And suddenly a flare shoots out and we see the horizon and we suddenly know which way is up and which way is down and we receive our orientation once again. The Word of God says that the Word is a lamp to our feet and light to our path, that the dark path is emblazoned and that God gives us direction by His Word. And He says, Quit wandering around in your life, following after the ways of the world, when I've given you a clear, marked out, brightly lit path right here in the Word. But we tend to want to go our own way and wander around in the darkness, because darkness tricks us. But the Word of God saves us. So we say this morning, as we look at the Word of God, that we are called as believers in Jesus Christ to grab hold of it and to light our own way, to learn about who God is and who we are and about this world, so that we can navigate our way clearly through the light of this world in the darkness. However, something else God tells us to do is to take that Word and to shine it for others to see. Not to bottle up all the light for ourselves, but to shine it for all the world to see, so they will know who He is, to reveal Himself to the whole world through us as well. So our job in using the Word, as we've seen this morning, is to take the light of the Word of God and allow it to bust through the darkness so that we can see the obstacles in our way, so that we can follow Him and know Him and do what He's called us to do, and then so that others may see who He is and quit fumbling around and stumbling around in the darkness, but to know His truth and to follow His path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You for Your Word this morning to us. And Lord, we pray that You might inspire us. Father, that we might pick up Your Word as not just as a sword, not just as our food to meditate on and to chew, but also as our light. Heavenly Father, reveal Yourself clearly to us through Your Word, that we might know of You and Your love and Your Son, that we might be able to see this world clearly, that the darkness and the lies of the devil will be exposed to our eyes clearly, that we might avoid the obstacles that are in our path that darkness places there. Father, that we might recognize that You are the light of the world, and that we, upon receiving Your truth, also become the light of the world. Help us to shine that others might see who You are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.